I had something placed on my heart just over the last couple of weeks, and the title for this next 2 weeks for the teaching that I'm going to bring is Together. And what I've been feeling a lot recently is that it's such a privilege to be part of the family of God, the household of faith. Do you believe that as well? It's such a privilege. And I was thinking back to when I was an 18-year-old young guy, and I'd just become a Christian, and some of my friends at the time were amazing friends, and I became a Christian, and I joined this community of people who I'd never met before, and I felt so loved and so accepted, and it felt in some ways more of a family than my extended family. And from that day, I've just fallen in love with the church. And I think that God's plan for his kingdom advancing, using us to advance the kingdom, is genius. and so I thank God for each one of you. And this morning we're going to look at a passage in Ephesians 2. The verses are 19 to 22, but we'll look at a little bit earlier as well, just to fit in a bit of context. But we're going to look at the household of faith. We're going to look at the church. We're going to look at family, and we're going to look at belonging. We're going to be looking at acceptance. We're going to be looking at serving, and it's going to be a wonderful two-week journey. And before I just jump in, I'm just going to pray that God would open our eyes, open our hearts, and that we would be blessed and challenged over this next 2 weeks. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the church. Father, and thank you that you have intended all along so much more than we've ever understood. And Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we dig into your word, you're going to show us new and exciting things. Father, and you're going to remind us of some things we already know, Lord, and you're going to excite our hearts and give us faith. Lord God, you're going to help us to fall in love with your church all over again. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the center of your body, Father, the church, and thank you that you are right here today in our midst, even as we look at these scriptures. And we invite you, Lord God, now to open our eyes, open our hearts, raise our level of faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When we come to the scriptures, sometimes, I don't know about you, I sometimes feel a bit excited, and my heart is, this morning, I feel excited in my heart as we're going to read these scriptures. So I want you to not just sit back passively this morning. I want you to think, wow, this is the word of God. And as I take the word of God into my heart, my life can be transformed. So I'm going to read the scriptures, and I want you to receive it as the living word that it is. I'm going to read a few more verses, then we'll be up here on the screen just to set things in context. So we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll read probably from verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who were Gentiles, that's non-Jews, those of you who were Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that's Jews, that which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope, and you were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came to preach peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both now have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you who are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. There's some really amazing things in that passage. And before I jump into the main points this morning, I just want to show you a few of those things. First of all, in the Old Testament, the Jews were the people of God. They were the people of promise. The covenants of God were given to the Jews. And so it was the Jews who were supposed to show the rest of the world what it meant to be followers of God. And it was the Jews uniquely who were positioned on the earth to be those people who were instructed by God how to live on this earth. And it was from the Jews that Jesus came, and through Jesus then, from the Jews, the whole of this thing opened up and the Gentiles came in. And so there were these discussions in the early church about how this all fits together, how the Jews and the Gentiles relate, because weren't the Jews the people of God? And so the Apostle Paul here was saying, well, listen, at one time there was this wall of hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And the Jews thought themselves to be those who were the chosen people and everyone else to be those outside of the kingdom of God. But uniquely in Jesus, the good news is that Jesus brought down the wall of hostility that was separating Jew and Gentile. And both now are together brought into a new humanity, which God reveals his glory through. And so this morning, if you're a Jew, congratulations. By birth, you are part of the people of God. But if you're a Gentile and a follower of Jesus this morning, which I am part of God's chosen people, the household of faith, the family of God, because of what Jesus did on the cross. So it says, in him, this building grows, this temple grows. In Exodus 25, verse 8, there's a really interesting verse, and it says this. It says, I'm going to place this temple on the earth as the place where I will manifest my presence, my glory. It's where I will dwell amongst my people. And so when you think of the temple of God, there's a picture of a temple up here. This was the Jewish temple. This was Herod's temple. The temple was the place where God chose to manifest his glory, where his presence could be found. Of course, you can't contain God in a building, but he chose in the Old Testament to mark a place on earth where he could be found and worshipped. And so the temple was made up of various courts, and right there in the center, there was the most holy place. It was the place where the Ark of the Covenant used to be placed, and it was the place of God's presence, his holy, glorious presence. And then as people came to worship him, they brought sacrifices, they cleansed themselves, they humbled themselves, and they came and they worshipped God in his glory. Of course, Herod's temple didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. Did you know that? When the Babylonians came and they ransacked Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple and they destroyed the city, we don't know exactly what happened to the Ark of the Covenant, but there is no record of the Ark of the Covenant after that. And so Herod's temple didn't have the Ark of the Covenant in it. Interesting. Because the Ark of the Covenant represented on earth the most holy place, the place of God's presence manifest on the earth. And so the temple the Jews understood was the place of worship. It was where God could be found. It was the place of his glory. It was the place of his presence. It was the place of his power. It was the place of worship and praise. And then in the New Testament, Paul takes the temple as a picture, as a shadow, a foreshadowing of something even greater that was to come. And he says these words. He says, consequently, you, if you're not a Jew, are no longer foreigners and strangers. Think about that phrase for a second. What's it like to be a foreigner and a stranger? You go into a country that isn't your own. You can't speak the language. Basically, you don't belong. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying, listen, if you are a Gentile, if you're not a Jew and you have met with Jesus, you're no longer foreigners and strangers. You're no longer that people who don't belong to God. He's saying from now on, in Christ, you belong. And I wonder today if you understand the enormity of that statement. That today you as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you belong to God. And you belong to his family. That you are part of his household. That he has received you as his. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. Citizenship. So you are now the subject of a king. King Jesus, and you are his. You are part of his kingdom. You are citizens of his kingdom. But then he goes on to say, not only are you fellow citizens with God's people, but you are now also members of his household. You are citizens, but you're also family. You're the family of God. And every single one of you who names the name of Jesus today, you are the family of God. And these are your brothers and sisters. And he is your daddy. And it says that you have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What does that mean? It means that something has been laid that other generations have built on. And I was reading this and I was thinking, so are the apostles and prophets, are they the foundation? No. Because in 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle Paul says something really spectacular. He said, listen, I laid a foundation as a master builder. And others have built on top of it. And so the apostle Paul, amongst the other apostles, were foundation layers. But the apostle Paul goes on to say that the foundation that he laid was Christ. Was Christ. It was Jesus himself who became the foundation for everything that would be built upon it. And so Jesus is the foundation of the church. That's exciting. And it says, in him... Oh, it says also the apostles and prophets were laying this foundation, which was Christ. And then Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone of the temple. And here's a picture of a cornerstone. A cornerstone was interesting because it was one of the strongest and most durable stones in the whole of the building. The cornerstone is set right at the bottom. It bears the weight of all of the walls that are built around it. And it actually sets the parameters from which the building its shape will emerge. And so the cornerstone is vital in the building of a building. And so it says here that Jesus is the foundation of what would be built. And he's also the cornerstone. In another place in the Bible, it says he's the capstone. He's at the bottom, he's at the top, he's at the edge. Jesus is all in all. And so I love his church. I love you, but not as a club. I don't love you because I do great activities. I do because I love doing the things we do as a church. And I love to worship and I love to praise and I love to hear good teaching. And I love to serve God and I love to reach the lost and I love to reveal his glory. All of those things. I love the church. But I love the church because Jesus is at the heart. He is everything to do with his church. He is the foundation stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the capstone. It is all about him. And so as we look at this over the next 2 weeks, I want you to get excited again about the church being the place where Jesus is uniquely found. Jesus can be found in his creation. He can be found in the lives of people. You know, the Bible even says that if we treat the unlovely and the broken, if we give cups of water and we visit people in prison and we clothe those who are naked and we give food to the hungry, if we do all of those things inadvertently without realizing it, we've been serving Jesus himself. We can find Jesus in other places, but it's the church. It's the church where we find Jesus. The church is the place where we can see his glory manifest in our midst. And that's going to become something of a theme over the next 2 weeks. But listen to this. It says, Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. It says, in him. So we can do things in our own strength and we can have our own good ideas and we can have our own programs. But it says, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. And it says, in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In other places in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, Peter, write about this reality, this picture of what the church is like. And so we have some scriptures up here. The next one, I think, is from 1 Peter. Is that right? No, 1 Corinthians 3, okay. And it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, listen, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that you are a temple in which God's Spirit dwells. Take that in for a moment. You are God's temple. No longer is there a temple in Jerusalem. No longer is there a physical building on earth with a holy of holies, a place of worship and sacrifice. No longer is there a physical temple. But that physical temple was only a shadow anyway. Point into a greater reality. And let me tell you this, you are that greater reality. You are the temple of God. And the same purpose applies today. You are the place where His Spirit dwells. Dwells. God isn't confined by anything. He doesn't need a house to live in. He doesn't need a chair to sit on. But He chooses to dwell amongst His people. That is awesome. When Jesus came to this earth, the Apostle John said that He came and He tabernacled, He dwelled amongst us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. God dwells amongst His people. The Lord of glory dwells amongst His people. This morning, Hope Church, as we gather here, I don't know how you came, what your mindset was, where your faith levels are at, but I want to tell you this morning that as we gather together like this, you are living stones in a holy temple in which God dwells by His Spirit. And then there's another passage similar in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says, as you come to Him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, chosen by God, precious to Him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Say after me, if you're a Christian this morning, I am a living stone. And I want you to look around you at the other living stones in this place today. Because together, you are the raw materials of the temple that God is building. So Ephesians 2 again says, in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Now, I have in my pocket something that you will probably think is amazing. And it is this. Can you see it? This, my friends, is a Lego brick. And it is beautiful to behold. It has 8 little stumpy bits on the top, and it's made of something that is almost impossible to break. In fact, all of the Lego bricks I had when I was a kid, they're still in my mum and dad's house, and they're still as indestructible as this one. Every Lego brick that's ever existed is probably still in existence somewhere in this world. Isn't it a wonderful thing to behold? And underneath there are 3 little holes, and inside there are little gaps. And I can see that there are 2 bits of plastic that hold and strengthen it in the middle, and it has 4 edges. It's kind of cuboid in its appearance. This one's blue, but they come in all sorts of different colours. Isn't it wonderful? Actually, I'm getting bored of this now. It's just a Lego brick. It's just one Lego brick. But what if you took a few Lego bricks and you put them together? And then something remarkable happens. So this is a little model I made with Aaron when he was about 10. This sits on top of his wardrobe. I've dusted it this morning because it's not very clean. But we spent ages just taking the little bricks and the roof tiles and making some grass, and it even had some trees on it at one point. And we took the individual bricks, which were lovely and remarkable in and of themselves, and we put them together, and it created something that was wonderful, something Aaron could play with and something other people could look at. So this is the result of putting those bricks together. They're built into a house. I want you to know this morning that you are remarkable because you are a child of God. And that you have His Spirit in you. In fact, the Bible says that individually you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there's something remarkable about being a child of God, but there's something even more remarkable about taking the living stone that we are and connecting that living stone to other living stones to create a temple in which God lives by his Spirit. And let me say this about the temple. Listen, it's such a privilege to be one of the stones in the temple. And you might think to yourself, well, yeah, I want to be one of the most prominent stones. I want to be the stone on the top that everyone can see from a distance. Or I want to be the capstone above the arch holding the other stones together. I want to be the stone that is the most finely cut and most highly polished. I want to be that stone. But listen, in the church of God, in the temple of God, it doesn't matter where the stone is, as long as it's there, because it's the glory of God that's important, not the stone. And aren't you excited today that God is building you and me together to become a dwelling where his Holy Spirit manifests his glory? What does that look like? First of all, up here on the wall here, this is 1980s stone cladding. Right? So I used to see this stone cladding, and it was very popular, wasn't it, for a while? So a lot of the houses in Corby seemed to have stone cladding, and it was like, wow, I've got stone cladding on my house. But it always bugged me, and I couldn't really put my finger on it. Why does this stone cladding bug me so much? And I think it's because all of the stones have straight edges, and they all fit perfectly together, and it's emulating like stone cottages and other stone walls, but there's something about it being so uniform, and all of the edges being so straight that really bugged me. And if you've got stone cladding on your house, I'm sorry. But this is what I imagine a stone wall to look like. So there are bricks made of all different shapes and sizes. Some are big, some are long, some are narrow, and the edges aren't straight. And yet they're all kind of fitted together. And they create something wonderful. And the beauty of the church, the temple of God, the household of faith, is that we are living stones, but we don't have to be uniform. I don't have to look like you. You don't have to look like me. We don't have to have the same kind of relationship with God. We don't have to do the thing that everyone else does, because God has made you to be unique. And it might be that you're a big stone, praise God for that. It might be that you're a little stone, praise God for that. It might be that God's just chipping a few of the rough edges off you to lay you in the wall, and praise God for that too. It hurts. Sometimes it feels uncomfortable, but God's doing it because he wants to reveal his glory through our lives. And so if you are a stone that doesn't seem to fit, and you've even said that over your life, oh, I don't seem to fit here, let me say that God is the master builder, and that he takes stones of all different shapes and sizes, and he fits them together until they make a wall. And that wall, it says, rises to become a temple, a holy temple, in which God dwells by his Spirit. And one further thing I would say is, with this kind of wall, look at the brick in the center, the big brick in the center. Is that brick touching every other brick? No. Is that brick connected to every other brick? Yes. And without that brick, the wall would be weaker. But that brick isn't touching every other brick. And it might be, as you look around the church, and you might have been here from the beginning when we were just small in number and everyone seemed to know everyone else and we were in and out of each other's lives. You might miss those days. But what I would say to you is, your life may not touch the life of every single person in this room, but you are connected to everybody in this room. But that brick is touching several other bricks, isn't it? And it might be that today you're thinking, who does my life touch in this church? Who do I touch in a way that brings life and encouragement and love into another person's life? Because it's okay being a living stone, but a Lego brick by itself isn't much good. It's lovely to look at, and it's got loads of nice details, but a Lego brick by itself is not much good. It's only when it's connected to other bricks that it becomes useful and meaningful and creating something beautiful. And so I would say to you today, and this is just a gentle challenge, who are the people in this church who your life touches? Who are you touching? And you don't have to, your life doesn't have to touch everybody's life in this church, but there should be significant people whose life your life touches and whose life touches yours. And I don't know how we go about doing that, apart from to say we need to be intentional about building relationships, because sometimes relationships don't just happen to us. We need to decide that we're going to be part of this. And if God says that he is building something, that we're going to make ourselves available to him to be part of what he is building. And so the question you might ask after looking at this is, okay, well, that's interesting, but so what? Why is that important? Well, a few things from this passage. The first thing is, each one of us needs to understand that we belong. We belong. Every single one of us belongs both to the kingdom of God and to the household of God. All of us have a place. So your place might not be my place. Hillary's place might not be Giles's place. Colin's place might not be Sam's place, but all of us have a place. And God wants to lay our living stone in exactly the right place for maximum effectiveness. And all of us fit in. Every single one of us, despite our shape, despite how many bobbles and things that are kind of that don't look as though they should be there, no matter how many things that are out of place in our lives, God will make our life fit in the temple of God, because he is the master builder. Each one of us fits in. And if you've ever spoken over your life this word, I don't fit in, repent, because it's not the truth. And God, in God's hands, you fit in what he's building here. And all of us are connected. Our lives should touch a few. Now, that's the so what. And here's the now what. What do we need to do in order for our lives to be touched by other people's lives and for our lives to touch other people, to be laid as living stones in the temple that God is building so that his glory can be manifest in our midst? I would say to you today, if you don't have a ministry yet, I want every single person in this church to have a ministry. Where are you serving? What is your ministry? God has gifted you, and he's put unique gifts, talents, personality, experience into your life to do what only you can do. Nobody can do what you do in the church of God. What is your ministry? How are you serving? I would like every person in Hope Church to have a ministry. Secondly, how are you connected? How are you connected to others? Are you being proactive in building relationships? Now, I know that life is busy. My life's busy. I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing people whose lives are busy. We're busy. But what if busyness was one of the distractions that the devil brings to try and derail our faith so that we don't enjoy the richness of fellowship? What if he created a society full of people who are running so fast and have their tanks so empty that at the end of the day they just come home from work and they crash? They've got nothing left to bring. And what if God intended more from our lives than that? And so to be deliberate about building friendships and about loving people and being kind to people and going the extra mile to bless people, what does that look like in this day and age in this church? And how are you playing your part in getting connected in fellowship to other people? Now, there's one way that I would like to encourage everybody in the church to get connected. Because it's wonderful on Sunday to gather like this. This is a corporate dimension that is powerful. And when we worship together like this on a Sunday, it's powerful. And we get, as elders of the church, to speak into your lives and bring some prayerful direction to the church. When we gather like this on a Sunday, it's important. But also, but your life isn't is, although it's connected to every person in this room, it might not be touching every person in this room, but there are ways that you can be in fellowship where your life touches other people and their lives touch you, and that is what we call in this church life groups. And so up here on the screen, we have some pictures of life groups in the church, and we have quite a few now in the church. So we have a creative worship life group that meets once a month on the fourth Sunday at the Hope Center. This is a way to express worship through creativity. In the next one, if you recognize these people or if you're in their group, feel free to give them a cheer. This is the ladies life group that currently meets on Oakley Vale, led by Laura. We're going to start a Freedom in Christ group this year. This is going to be at the Hope Center starting at the end of September. Many of you have been through the Freedom in Christ course, but this is just laying solid biblical foundations. It's the truth setting us free. And so if you'd like to come along to that, we haven't got anyone signed up to that yet, but it's in my heart to do. So I'm going to be leading that, and David and Leslie have agreed to do that, and Laura's going to be on the team as well. So if you would like to sign your name up to that, please feel free to do that. Freedom in Christ. And then we have a daytime group over on Shire Lodge with Frank and Denise on a Wednesday. Trish's group, that's full, actually, it's capacity. So, you know, you need to sign up to some of these groups before they become full. That's over on Dane's Home. We also have a Wednesday group over on the Exeter Estate. We have a youth night for teenagers that meets at the Hope Centre on a Wednesday. There's one over past Market Harbour in Lubbernum, and some of the people in this group have just left. So Nick and Rachel, we prayed for them and we sent them off last week. They were part of this group, and I believe as well our lovely sister here is going to be moving on before much longer to move up north, and she's also part of that group. So if you're in this area or if you are able to travel, this is an amazing group, and it's a very loving group and a very nurturing group, and they would love you to sign your name up. And Emily also is part of that group. Sorry. But you're not leaving. You're not leaving. Okay, next. Wednesday on Snatch Hill now. And I think I've put the wrong in the handout in your update. I think it's still the old address, but they've just moved to a brand new address, which is nearer to the shops, which is convenient. And David and Sheila run that. Then there's the men's group that meet on Wednesday on Oakley Vale. And on Thursday on Oakley Vale, we have Mummy and Daddy, who are just like parents in the faith of so many of us. Also on Thursday, a ministry-based group, the worship team practice at the Hope Center. And then on Fridays, we have Celebrate Recovery. This is a group which has become like a family, and I've heard so many testimonies of people who have really matured in their faith and been set free from hurts, habits, and hang-ups. By being part of this group, it's a one-year rolling program, and so if you would like to be part of that, that's available also on a Friday night. We also have a little stand-in group with Sam and Festina in Sam and Festina's house, and Nikkei and Bonnie. How long did that hairstyle take you, Nikkei? No. And that meets over on Hazel Lee. So we have quite a number of groups. And if you're not already, put your hand up if you are already part of a life group in the church. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Two things. One, if you're not part of a life group, can I encourage you to join one? I would like everybody in the church to be connected to one of these groups. And you might be thinking, well, I work shift work, or, you know, I'm self-employed. I can't get along every week. That's fine. And there's no expectation that you'll be there every single week. But the great thing about these groups is, it's where pastoral care happens, and people get to know you. You get to know them, and you share your lives together, and people are really looking out for you, and they're praying for you, and they're cheering you on in your walk with God. They love your families, and your families get together, and they do wonderful things together. So if you're not already part of a life group, get connected. It might not be that you can be there all the time, but if you can be there, then that's a bonus. Our life groups are places where we study the Bible, and we want to hide the word of God in our hearts. We believe the Bible is the place, the go-to place that informs how we live our lives for Jesus. It's a living word, which means that it has a spiritual impact in our hearts. And so as we study the word of God, our hearts change and our lives become more like Jesus. And so when we gather together, we want the word of God to be central. We want to pray together. We want to fellowship together. Some of our groups are even reaching out to people outside the church together. It's really exciting to be part of one of our life groups. And so if you're not already, number one, please join one. Number two, if you're already a part of a life group, can I encourage you this term to try and be there as often as you can? And it might be that, you know, you come home and you think, oh, there's things I'd much rather be doing. Make a commitment, if you can, to be at life group, because you bring something to that group that's going to bless someone there. And you're going to receive something from the group that's going to help you to grow as a Christian. So if you can become more committed, you know, you might be that you're already as committed as you can be, but if you can become more committed and be there, your presence is powerful, because you carry something in the Lord that's going to bless someone else, and someone else carries something in the Lord which is going to bless you. So be there as often as possible. Our life groups start up again soon, and inside your update today, there is a sign-up form. And so if you haven't already joined a life group, there's one being held aloft. Can I encourage you to fill out a form? And we're going to give just 2 minutes now for those who want to fill out a form. Also, in the restaurant area afterwards, there's a table where you can post your filled out forms. And when you have done that, you're not making a lifelong commitment to a group. You can visit a group and change your mind, visit another group. That's absolutely fine. But we do want to give you an opportunity to join a group. And so if you fill out one of those forms, the group leader will contact you and personally invite you to their group and give you details of where they meet, etc., etc. So if you would like to fill out a form but haven't got a pen, please raise your hand. And our lovely stewards, is that okay, Nikkei and Bonnie? We'll bring a pen over to you. And we'll just take 2 minutes. And if you're not filling out a form, just feel free to say hi to the person sitting next to you. Okay, so if you would like more time to think about that and would like to fill it in later, feel free to drop it into the restaurant area. You'll see clearly marked a table where you can deposit your piece of paper. If you'd like to take it home, that's absolutely fine, and bring it back next week, that's also great. Let's just come back together. I'm going to read to you the scripture that we began with, and then we're going to pray. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You belong. You are now fellow citizens with God's people. You are members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray. I wonder if you'll stand to your feet with me. Okay, we're gonna pray together. I wonder if you'll pray after me. Lord, I am a living stone. This is your holy temple. Would you manifest your glory through the presence of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen.